everyone, and welcome to minute 104 of season 7 Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Jeanette Ward of the Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome back to the show, Jeanette.
Hello! So happy to be here, minute 105, 104.
Yeah.
Run along.
Happy Thursday.
Yes.
All right. So minute 104 begins with the mixture beginning to mix and ends with greetings from Simon.
Hello there.
Hello there. Yeah, it's, the Obi-Wan quote.
Yes. I like the mixture beginning to mix.
Well, what else would you call it?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I'm sure that there's probably somebody get out your thesaurus. There's other ways to say that, but it is exactly what's happening. The mixture is beginning to mix.
That's right. The two liquids are mixing together. How's that?
Yes.
Which we'll maybe find out later today what that mixture is.
Yeah.
So, you know, we ended things yesterday with Charlie sweating it out. He's got less than a minute. You know, he has, already done his guts, no glory phrase. You know, which will be on his epitaph because it doesn't look like he's going to be able to stop this this explosive from exploding.
No, I this said it a couple days ago, but Charlie has made peace with his end. He is committed to seeing this out.
Yeah, that is definitely true. And, you know, he's looking around and he hears the sounds and he's amazed that even though he's just clipped, you know, one of the wires, everything seems to be, mixing these two liquids together.
Yeah.
You know,
it's probably not the result he was hoping for.
No. And the shot actually looks like a sci-fi shot because we see from behind Charlie, you know, we see the two vats with the reddish pinkish liquids, and then there are all these pipes and wires and stuff like that around them. You know, this is a pretty elaborate way to put together a fake bomb. You know, you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
Yes.
You know,
it's very easy to buy as a legitimate bomb.
Correct. No, but they spent their time and energy creating this, you know.
Do you think that they created this one special, or when they are they building these on their own? Are they ordering the parts from somewhere? And if they ordered the parts, do you think they just said to somebody, "Give us two," so that they would have two ready to go, knowing that one would be filled with something that is not the actual bomb components?
My assumption is that when you're dealing with making something like this, you're not going to really order it. You're going to have to put it together yourself. So they must have had an explosive specialist on their team. Maybe it's even Targo, you know, who's going to put the stuff together, put the passwords on, you know, do whatever welding is necessary, you know, to put it all together. Question of going out and buying all the parts.
Introduced to like the bad guys when they're like, "Well, here's our crew, this person, that person," or when the cops are talking about them, this person. Usually, there's a picture that goes up. This is their bomb guy.
I feel like
we didn't really get that in this one. So yeah, let's assume it's Targo.
Well, there was something that Targo did. I'm trying to remember what it was that made me believe that it's very possible that he's the bomb guy. I don't remember. Maybe because he's the one who set up the suitcase bomb in order to blow up the dam.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's like he didn't say, "Get over here, Rolf," you know, and go and take care of this.
Rolf, the bomb guy's name is Rolf.
Well, they do have one of the bad guys named Rolf. R-O-L-F.
So maybe he's the bomb. No, I think you're right. I think it's probably Targo. Based on his persona, I don't think he would trust anyone else to do it. Plus, he's the one who, once he realizes they're betrayed, shows up with the, "Look, we're betrayed." Spoiler alert.
Correct. Well, did you know who Rolf... Oh, that's a good point. Now that I'm thinking about that, you're right. If no, but wait a second. I know we're skipping a little bit ahead here, but if Targo, what was Targo surprised about? That they faked having the bomb in the school, or the fact
That
that
they
the gold is not there?
faked having gold in the ship. If I remember
Okay,
correctly, he's upset
exactly.
that there's
So,
no gold in the ship. He's not upset that the fake bomb in the school.
right.
He's probably also air quotes not a monster, but
He just
I
worked for
think
them.
he's more upset that he's not bearing the gold because Targo may be an idealist.
Correct. That's what I
So.
would think. But again, it's so it doesn't spoil the fact that Targo could be the computer guy who's or the bomb guy who's setting up the computer and stuff like that, because he knows that he's set up this fake one that's going into a school. You know, for him, the question is, and we'll get to this over the next few weeks, which I don't, I'll be honest, I have not thought of an answer yet of how did they get the gold off of the ship without Targo knowing? You know, that's the thing that shocks me a little bit, that
That's
I
a
haven't
really
been
good
able to think of an
point.
answer
Like,
for.
what else was he doing that he wasn't? Yes, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll try to dive into that over the next few weeks, maybe try and find some sort of solution, but as of now, I don't have a solution. But so I mentioned Rolf, and I just remembered, I just threw out that name, and then I went back to look up who played Rolf. And Rolf was played by Robert Sedgwick, who's Kira Sedgwick's brother.
Really?
Yes. When DJ was on a few months ago, we talked about it. You know, DJ was very happy to see that you know, we have Kevin Bacon's brother-in-law in this movie.
Yeah, that's a good way. I just saw Kevin Bacon and Kira. They were celebrating their anniversary and they were singing a little song. They're adorable.
Wait, you saw them in person, or you saw them on like
No, on their Instagram.
oh,
On
on
their Instagram.
Instagram? Okay,
Yes.
yeah, they're a fun couple to watch.
Yeah.
Everything goes on with them. Definitely. So again, Weiss is surprised about the fact that that the not only, you know, does it look like everything is misty and stuff like that around him, you see the liquid is starting to filter out. You know, it's moving down, 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 you know.
Yeah, which is again important in that we saw the original or we saw the process earlier in the movie so that we recognize when this starts to happen. Oh, that means it's about to go.
That's right. That's right. We saw it on the train, so we know that and we saw it in smaller form on the train, and now we see it in huge form, and we're getting ready for a huge explosion. You know,
Yes.
and Weiss hopefully has said his prayers at this point.
Yes.
You know. And
As
then
I said, made peace with his decision.
oh, for sure. And then we move to the scene changes, and we're back with Lambert, you know, once again breaking through a door. This time on the roof, you know, and the kids come out with him, and Connie drags up the rear, and you know they're trying to get you go, come on, kids, and then they get to the edge and they go, shit, it's too far.
Yeah, they're not going to make that jump.
No, there's you know, it makes you it always makes me curious when you see movies where people are jumping from rooftop to rooftop, and we're not talking about Mary Poppins type of jumping from rooftop to rooftop, you know, the you know, down on the street, you know that there's usually enough distance for a car to drive through, if not two, you know, side by
Yes.
side. So
Yes.
why would anyone even consider the fact that they can jump across?
That is a great question.
You know, it doesn't make sense
Absolutely.
to me.
It's nonsense. Yes, you're completely correct.
You know, even if you go back to Vertigo and stuff like that, where someone's jumping over roof, people are jumping over the roof and stuff. You know, like there's no reason why the buildings should be that close together anyway.
Absolutely.
For safety reasons also, but
Yeah.
also you know, there's usually something going on between the houses. You know, even if it's not a street, even if it's just two people's
An
yard.
alley. Even if it's an alley, it's still going to be 8 feet wide.
That's right. Well, maybe they feel that these maybe this young Aldous Hodge is going to be able to jump 8 feet without a problem.
Hey, listen, maybe. I'm not putting it past him. The world record for the long jump is right around 23, 24 feet, but chances are none of these people are professional long jumpers.
Nah, probably not. Probably not. Especially not Lambert. Lambert's just good at breaking doors. Breaking open doors or
He
busting
has
open
one
doors.
skill, and that's what it is, breaking down doors. What he should have done was smash one of the doors, brought the doors with him, and try and make like a bridge across. Like, you know, I've seen that in movies too, where they're like, it's too far to jump, and then they grab like a plank or a wooden thing and they slab that across, and they each have to like crawl across that. So that
Okay,
would have
but
been enough.
Lambert is not the Hulk, where he's going to be able to break the door down and the door will
Okay,
just
all
fly through.
right. So what
Yeah.
you're saying, these folks are stuck on this roof.
Yes. And again, you'd think that there should be maybe a fire escape or something like that for them to at least try to get down off of.
Yeah.
But they don't even try that.
Some sort of option, but I think they at this point realize they're out of time, and maybe they're thinking, well, our chances are better if we kind of hunker in a corner away from the explosion rather than continuing to try and move around.
Okay, but how would one hunker out of the way of an explosion if a building is about to explode? Okay,
I
they're in the
don't have an
building.
answer on that. It's
They're in the
believe.
building. The
I
odds
don't have an answer.
are, right, the odds are this whole building is going to collapse in on itself.
Yeah.
You know.
So if it's gonna collapse, are you better like I don't know.
Right. Now, again, I don't know the answer either, but I would think that they should be looking. I mean, we see when they show us the shot across to the, you know, how far it is, you know, we see that there is a fire escape ladder on the opposite building. So my
Yes.
assumption is they would have one here too, but
Gotta
they
be one
don't
on
show
this
it.
side. No,
Nope.
they're not thinking clearly. They're panicking.
They are definitely panicking. You know, and they, you know, Connie crouches down with three of the kids, and one of them stays with Lambert standing up. And then the shot changes, and we're back with Weiss, and we're down to 20 seconds. So once again, time is definitely moving very
Moving
strangely
at different
in.
rates.
That's right. In the Die Hard universe, you know, sometimes it'll move faster, sometimes it'll move slower, and I love how they have like the temperature meter type of thing underneath it, showing how much time is left, basically.
Yes.
It's just funny that they have that there. You know, you'd think that they would have it in color, but here this is all black and white.
It's
You know,
just
gray.
serving
It's a
to
gray
make
screen.
everybody more anxious. I'm just making everybody anxious
That's
with
right.
what's about to happen.
That's right. And it makes sense. And you know, we see the time go down, and Weiss then wipes some of the sweat off his lips, forgetting the fact that he's filled with his hands are filled with talcum powder, and you know, leaves a nice white mark on his you know, on his upper lip.
Least of his
And
concerns right now.
probably. That's probably true. And once again, he says, "No guts, no glory." I guess that's the only thing he knows how to say.
Well,
So
it's his own is self-hype phrase. You know, you gotta have that thing that you say to
we
yourself to
have the
get you hyped up.
yippee-ki-yay phrase here, and he
Yes.
has no guts, no glory.
That's
That's
right.
what it comes
Exactly.
down to.
That works for him.
That's a good point. And again, the music gets very, very tense here as this all is happening. And you know, they're raising the tension with that. You know, and you see that he's getting ready to cut another wire, which you'd think
Yes.
that you know, to me it just looks like it's all a guessing game. Doesn't look as if he really knows what he's doing here. It's just like, okay, maybe I'll cut this one. Don't know. And then we're back with John in the on the bridge. And John says something very interesting. He goes, "There's a big black and white boat in the middle of the harbor."
Come find it. Come get me.
Yeah,
It's
that's
equivalent
it.
to that, like, yeah, come down here and
"Come
arrest
down
me.
here and arrest me."
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care what you
"I'm
do,
sorry,
just get
sir.
here.
I'm sorry, sir, but it's against FAA regulations to use this in a non-emergency situation. So come the
Fine.
down here and arrest me."
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's John for you.
Yeah.
And I love how the answer is, "Okay, please stay on the line."
Yes.
And he goes,
Yes.
"Yeah, sure. I'll stay
Please
on the
do.
line. Like,
Yeah.
where am I going to go anyway?" Do you really think that John believes that he's going to have the time to do this before someone finds him?
I think he's trying all of his options, and at least, you know, he's let the Coast Guard know there's a situation. So I don't know if he believes they're going to make it there or not, but he gave it a shot.
Right.
He,
I mean,
I
he
mean,
is
he did
looking
check the ship,
around.
and virtually the ship is deserted. So maybe he's hopeful they'll be able to come and at least, you know, collect what's on the ship.
Correct. It's true. And then John looks around, and then, you know, we get a nice close-up on his eyes with that bloody nose. You know, both nostrils are bleeding.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It's a Rocky moment. And then we're back to watching the countdown. We're next to Charlie. So we get 10, 9, and Charlie is, you know, gritting his teeth, not sure if he really should be cutting this wire or not. And then as he cuts the wire, you know, he like closes his eyes, and then something starts spurting out of him. You know, a liquid starts splashing him on the face.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful that it pushes him down off of his chair onto the ground.
Well, I think he probably just falls back in shock.
Could be. Could be. And again, this is a great edit because at this point they show John looking out the window of the bridge and seeing two more vats, or four vats actually, two vats of each component being lifted up in front of him.
Yeah, the realization as it plays across John's face. And across Charlie's face.
Correct.
And this is where the intercutting of the action sequences of the last couple of minutes really pays off, because you have the simultaneous discovery.
That's right. And, you know, John immediately understands that, yes, that this is all a fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like, oh, crap, I got to deal with this again.
Yep,
or how am I going to get off this boat?
Yep, immediately understands he's been had.
Correct. And, you know, he just puts his hand on his head, and then the shot goes back. And again, the music is playing, and it says 1 second and then 0 seconds. And everyone's waiting for that to explode. And all we get is Weiss getting splashed by liquid. And then he says pancake syrup.
Yes. Now, first of all, who calls it? And admittedly, maybe they're like, yeah, pancake syrup, but usually it's maple syrup or just syrup. I very rarely hear people go pancake syrup, but maybe he does. And fine. Also the color, also the consistency. If it is syrup, it's the worst syrup. It is the cheapest syrup you can find anywhere. Or it must be mixed in with something else. We did see it mixed with the other container, so maybe it's just very watered down. But this is some discount bargain brand syrup, if I've ever seen it.
Well, why would they want to spend money on that?
Okay, good. Good point. Yes. Why you know, use, of all the things they could have used to fill it, why use pancake syrup? But admittedly, that's probably why he doesn't say maple syrup, because it's clearly not real maple syrup.
That's right. It's fake. Yeah, I don't know.
They could have used literally anything for him to make it clear to us, the audience, that it is not, in fact, bomb liquid.
That's right. I always thought, until I did the research here, I always thought that he just says syrup. And I always thought that it was like a drink syrup or something like that, because, as you said, about the consistency, you know, and the fact that he says pancake syrup just throws me completely off about the whole thing.
I will say, until I rewatched it, I had replaced it in my brain with maple syrup. I thought that he said maple syrup. No, he definitely says pancake syrup.
That's right.
Which is that different than waffle syrup and or French toast syrup?
That's right. There are, those are other names for you have table syrup, pancake syrup, and waffle syrup. And those are the toppings used for pancakes, waffles, and French toast.
Sure.
And often an alternative to maple syrup.
Yeah.
It is typically made by combining corn syrup with either cane or high fructose corn syrup, water, food coloring, flavoring, and preservatives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Table syrups were introduced in the late 19th century to fill the desire of maple syrup for Americans moving into urban areas.
All right, sure.
After World War II, major brands like Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Brothersworth were introduced with little actual maple syrup.
Yep. Yeah, which is why I it's one of the things I'll be a snob about. I only buy real maple syrup.
Okay.
I rarely use it, but when I do, I use it for baking. I don't do a ton of like let me put this on stuff, but like, you know, cookies and things like that. Yeah, real maple syrup is the way to go, but whoo, it will cost you.
Right. I prefer honey, actually. I put honey on my
You
pancakes
know,
and
fair,
waffles
yes.
and
Good
French toast
choice.
and all that. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So, I
I'm one of those
mean,
people who I French toast, I love it topped with actually sour cream and maple syrup. It's my favorite combo.
Okay. Makes sense.
Does it?
It makes sense that that's what you would like. You know, you're allowed to have that you're allowed to like
Everyone
that.
has their own
That's
tastes.
right. I don't like sour cream, so I can understand. But if you like it, that's fine by me.
There you go.
You know, I like cottage cheese, and I know people that are disgusted by cottage cheese.
Oh no, I
My wife
enjoy cheese.
cannot. My wife can't stand the fact that I eat cottage cheese.
Huh,
You know,
interesting.
to her, it just looks. You know, I don't know. But then, you know, she'll eat things that I think are crazy. So they, it all evens out. You know.
Yes.
That's right. Okay, so there was a survey done by the Washington Post in 2015, okay, asking what percentage of Americans prefer using artificial syrups on their pancakes as opposed to real maple syrup. How do you think that survey came out?
Now, this is very interesting. I'm going to guess that it's shockingly high for the artificial syrups.
Okay, yeah. What do you define as shockingly high?
75%.
You're very close, 70%. 70% of Americans, according to this survey, prefer artificial syrups as opposed to real maple syrup.
I find that shocking because I just the flavor to me is so. It's also like you just read the list of what's in an artificial syrup. Like some of those are clearly real fake things. So,
Okay, but
but.
everyone eats all that crap, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
It's not
no,
like,
you know, it's hey, it's fine. Whatever works. I'm not judging what anybody prefers to eat. All right, maybe a little, but you know, it's fine.
You can be judgmental if
Yeah,
you want. Feel free, feel free. But yeah, this is a lot of Aunt Jemima syrup spurting on him
yes.
all over the place. You know, and now my question here, and if I remember correctly, this is probably the last time we see Weiss in this entire movie because he then needs to go change his clothes and you know, take a shower. But what do you think Simon's plan really was? You know, is
What do
it
I
supposed
think?
to explode this way?
Yeah, I think it's a distraction, right? He has focused everyone on this for the entire day so that when it finally goes, because he knew what they were going to do. They're running the playbook, right? So he knew what they were going to do, and he's using it as a distraction to get everybody looking that way while he does everything over here, and then also, you know, to distract his own folks so that he can switch out the gold and get away with the gold and the girl. And yeah. So I think to this point, everything is still going completely according to Simon's plan.
Okay, but what Weiss does, if you go back to second 36, he cuts one of the wires and then pulls out the stopper, I guess you can say, at the same time. This is and you can see this is the fourth wire that he has cut. There's a yellow wire that's cut, there's a green wire that's cut, there's a brown wire that's cut, and then he cuts another brown wire. So, you know, he's just guessing each time. But you see a little bit of seepage coming out from the cork, I guess you can say. And then when he cuts the final one, it just you know, opens up, and that's when it starts spraying out at him. So, do you think that Simon planned it that way, that this is where that it's all going to start spurting out from here, or is it just because, you know, Weiss is playing around with it that this is what happened? Otherwise, it would have just mixed it, and nothing would have happened.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think that
I ask
Simon
good
had a
questions, Jeanette.
plan. Yeah, I clearly
This is hard
and
hitting, you know, movies by minute
it's a
questions.
level of depth of consideration of this movie that I had not. I think that due to what we've seen from Simon so far, what we know of his plan, I think he considered all of this. I think he considered whether there would be someone in there messing around with it, or there might not be someone in there messing around with it. He is ready for all of that. So the plan works if someone messes with the bomb, it works if no one touches it.
Okay, if nobody touches it, then you think that it's just going to explode
It'll mix, yeah, it'll make
with
the air
dirt come
quotes
out?
explode. It just shoots syrup everywhere.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. I mean, again, it's a great fake out. You don't know up until this point that that is a fake bomb, and the way that they play it out here is just done great. Right. I like it.
Yes, agreed.
I don't know how much Kevin what was it? Kevin Chamberlain liked getting doused in pancake syrup, but I guess it's what they
That's right.
pay him the big bucks for.
That's right. You earn your paycheck that day.
The shot comes back to John, who is still distraught over figuring out what's going on here. And
Yes.
then a figure looms in front of him. And then we see Simon crouch down and say, "Hello, John McClane."
It's
With another
just
guy
so,
holding an MP5 again on his
yeah,
back.
it's the perfect villain operating. It's 'cause and it's again, it's credit to Bruce Willis in this sequence where he really sells it by his performance. We realize like, oh no, because he sells it that way. He realizes he's been had, and we realize it at the same way because of the skill he has in portraying that. So yeah.
Right. Okay. That's fair. Right. That's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Nope, just that Simon, hello there, it's John.
Okay.
Hello there.
Exactly. So once again, nothing to say about the script because it doesn't is not connected here. And so now we have every Thursday, we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Revenge Sibling Rivalry Edition, where my guests will give some sort of story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something's happened to them over the course of their life that is somehow connected to either revenge or sibling rivalry. So, Janet, you have a story for us.
Well, I have a very brief one. I have had two younger brothers. I have a younger brother now. Lost my youngest brother in 2007, but prior to that, my family would have a huge 4th of July party every year. Just, people coming over potluck, bring a dish, kind of hang out, and I traditionally make a fruit pizza, which, it's a giant cookie with cream cheese frosting and then fruit arranged in circles. By the way, if you're going to a party in the summer, make one. It always impresses people, and yet it's very easy to do. So I make it, and my brothers at the time, there was one piece left. And so my brother Andre, my brother Christian decided they would fight via a badminton match in the backyard to determine the winner would get the last piece of summer fruit pizza. Andre, being the competitor he is and the athlete he is, said, okay, well, I'm going to go upstairs and change into, clothes. I don't mind getting sweaty in because this is going to be a serious match. Christian said, yeah, great, good plan. Andre goes upstairs, changes, comes down. They have the most epic badminton match you've seen between two brothers. It goes on for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, at the end of which Andre barely wins, but wins. Goes to claim the final piece of the fruit pizza, only to find that Christian had already eaten it while Andre had gone upstairs to change. And there you have it. That sums them up exactly everything you need to know. So, yes, that I found to be a very good sibling rivalry story.
It sounds like it works.
It was a contingency plan, right? Which we see in this movie, where Christian's plan, even if he lost, he still won.
Correct. But that's what you get with John McClane.
Absolutely.
You always give credit to John McClane in these types of things. All right, excellent. So, Jeanette, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Jeanette Ward?
Yeah, you can find me over there on the socials, Jeanette Ward on most things, Instagram at j.y.ward, and then you can check out some of my movie reviews at jwardadventures.blogspot.com. Check out my belly dance troupe at tamarindbellydance.com, and that's about it. I'm out there. You can find me.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. You can send me an email to movearoundminute@movearound.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So, Jeanette, you feel like coming back in tomorrow to finish off the week?
Oh, yes. Very happy to finish out the week. Got to see what happens now that Charlie's covered in pancake syrup.
Yeah. Well, again, spoiler, we don't see the results of that.
What? Oh
Sorry
no.
to disappoint you.
I'll be
Maybe
left hanging.
you don't want to come back tomorrow. I don't know, maybe you want to stick around to see, Charlie changes clothes. I don't know.
There you go.
I would have liked to see the scene where Charlie walks outside and everyone sees the way he looks when, because again, right now nobody outside knows it's a fake bomb.
Knows it's fake, right? They're just like,
That's
it
right.
didn't
And there
explode.
is no point, there's no point where Charlie says it's a fake.
Right. Well, to be fair though, he is, remember, he is still connected auditorially, right? Like, because he's been conversing with Walt the whole time. So chances are when he said pancakes are, Walt heard that. Now, whether or not he's put two and two together to, that means the bomb is fake, surely by this point, Charlie has told them, like, oh, yeah, it's pancakes or the bomb is a fake. So we don't see that happen, but we have to assume that happens.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay!
Johnny comes marching home again. Hurrah! Hurrah! We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hurrah! Hurrah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.